believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe He made heaven and earth and you and me. Created from the hands of the Creator. We didn't make ourselves. No. He has made us. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. The one that was spat on. The one that was crucified on our behalf. The one that our sin put into the grave. But our worst could not keep His best from shining through. On the third day, He rose out of the grave. On the third day, He invaded the world. On the third day, He was free. On the third day, we are free. Third day changed the world forever. Today can be the third day. Today is the day that God has made. Today is the day Christ will transform our lives. Today our broken hearts are healed by His hands. Today He will rescue us from the grave. Rejoice, people of God. Shine in His glorious light. We believe the good news. God is here, and His grace will change the world. This we believe.
Amen. What do you believe? In what or whom do you place your faith? Because you see, where we place our faith, that's what motivates us. For we all have a faith, right, in something. Even those that say or claim to have no faith, they do. But it's just what they place their faith in. What is faith? Faith, according to Scripture, is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The ESV translates it this way. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Paul talks about faith in the book of Romans, over a couple of chapters, actually, in chapters 4 and 5, if you want to turn with me there for a moment. And he uses the example of Abraham, the patriarch Abraham. And he talks about who Abraham is and what he was credited for. There he talks about Abraham and his faith. And Paul quotes Genesis, actually, chapter 15, verse 6. And he says this, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He was promised by God that he would be made into a great nation, even though he had had no children and there was no apparent heir. But he placed his faith in a faithful God. A God that he knew with all his heart would keep his promises. Abraham was known for his faith because his faith was made known by the way he lived. You see, faith that is not lived is really no faith at all. There's a story of a guy named Charles Blondin. You may have heard this story before. In the 1800s, he was a famous French tightrope walker. And he's most famous for what he did on September 14th, 1860, when he became the first person to cross a tightrope stretched 11,000 feet, over a quarter of a mile across the Niagara Falls. People from both Canada and the U.S. came for miles to see what this guy was going to do, how he was going to walk across the rope. He walked across 160 feet above the falls several times. He went back and forth. Each time was something different, okay? He went one time in a sack on stilts. He went on a bicycle. He went in the dark at night. He went blindfolded. One time, he even carried a stove out to the middle and cooked the omelet over the falls. A large crowd gathered, and the buzz of the excitement ran along both sides of the riverbank, and people crowded all around. And specifically, the crowd oohed and awed as Blondin carefully walked across one dangerous step after another, pushing a wheelbarrow full of potatoes across the tightrope. The crowd was amazed. Upon reaching the other side, the crowd's applause was louder, and the roar was heard all over the falls, even over the falls. Blondin suddenly stopped and addressed his audience. Do you believe I can carry a person across in this wheelbarrow? The crowd enthusiastically yelled, yes, You are the greatest tightrope walker in the world. We believe. Okay, said Blondin. Who wants to get in the wheelbarrow? At which point, no one volunteered. The crowd fell silent. The crowd watched all these daring feats that Blondin did, and they said they believed, but their actions proved otherwise, didn't it? Their faith was a conditional faith. I'll believe as long as I don't have to really do anything about it. I'll believe as long as all I have to do is come on a Sunday morning, maybe every week, maybe periodically, and sit in a pew and say, I believe that Jesus did all that for me, and go out and live my life the way I want to. Is that faith? Is that faith? It's a conditional faith. They were all right believing in him as long as they did not have to actively participate in their faith. It's one thing for us to say we have faith in God, but true faith is when that belief is demonstrated in our life. When people see that faith lived out. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he came and lived and died and rose again for you? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Would you sit in his wheelbarrow? I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Let us be faithful, 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 Lord. Let us be faithful, faithful, Lord. Though we cannot see, we still believe. Let us be faithful, faithful, Lord. We believe in a God who is able to bring justice and mercy to all. And he promises strength for the journey to the steadfast who answer the call. Let us be faithful, 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 Lord. Let us be faithful, faithful, Lord. Though we cannot see, we still believe. Let us be faithful, faithful, Lord. We believe in the truth of the Bible, in its power and purpose today. There is meaning and life in its pages. We believe and we choose to obey. Let us be faithful, 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 Lord. Let us be faithful, faithful, Lord. Though we cannot see, we still believe. Let us be faithful, faithful, Lord. Let us be faithful, 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 Lord. Let us be faithful, faithful, Lord. Though we cannot see, we still believe. Let us be faithful, faithful, Lord. His banner over us, his love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road, the saints above, with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is our victory. Faith is our victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
It was supposed to be a day of mourning, a day of defeat. It was a day for the critics and skeptics to point the finger with smug satisfaction and declare, your Savior was a fraud. His death has proven it. He is buried, He is gone, and He will be forgotten. It was supposed to be a day of darkness and a day of grief. A day when broken and confused followers felt lost and overwhelmed with hopelessness. Even those who went to visit the tomb that day expected to find nothing more than a lifeless body. It was supposed to be a day of sadness and weeping. But you transformed it into a day of rejoicing, a day of victory, a day when the children of God can shout with confidence, He is alive, He is risen, and He will never be forgotten. This day has driven out all darkness and grief, erased all sin and shame. A day when followers of the true Savior are flooded with purpose, promises, and hope. This day echoes through the halls of history as the day our King crushed the head of the snake, tore through the chains of death itself, and claimed mankind for His kingdom. Tears of despair have become tears of overwhelming joy. For the Lord Jesus Christ has made this day of sorrow into a day of worship.
Today is indeed a day of worship, amen? It's a day filled with hope in a world that has none. You see, our faith, it drives our hope. It drives us. If our faith says there is nothing but this life, this is all there is, then our hope is set in things of this world, in what we can accomplish, what we can succeed in, what we can gain, and that's it. But if our faith is in Jesus, then our hope is in His grace that saves us and in His promise of eternal life with Him, and to know that this is not the end. This is not it. This is only heaven in part, but not in whole. For there will come a day when the trumpet will sound, the earth will shake, the clouds will come, and on those clouds, the Lord Jesus Christ will descend upon this earth and bring home those who are His, who have faith that He is who He said He is. That's the hope that we have. Look with me back in Romans 5. In Romans 5, it says this. Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified, made right before God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by our faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. What? Yeah, in our suffering. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces what? Hope. Hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What a gift we have. What a gift. Paul goes on in chapter 8, verses 24 and 25 to say this. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes in what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Because we know our God is faithful. Remember, our faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sure. This faith and hope allows us to see the unseen and rest assured that Jesus has won the victory. That got nothing. Jesus has won the victory. Does anybody in here believe that? Why do we sit around when things like that are said and go, he won the victory. The war has been fought and won by one man for you. And we sit around and we go, it's time for Easter. When's the Easter egg hunt? Jesus won the victory. It has nothing to do with Easter eggs. But I like Easter eggs anyway. Jesus won the victory. And Paul said this to the Corinthians, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're temporal, they're momentary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. They're forever. So whenever you see a person, get this, inside them is eternity. They are forever. It's just a matter of where they're going to spend that eternity. And it is our role as Christians who believe in this hope to say, I want to give you hope. In a world that doesn't give it to you, I have it. I believe in it. We're in a world that's filled with brokenness, we look to hope and know that God will only open the heaven, will one day open the heavens, and the light of a brighter day will be coming. To the young mother, single mom out there, who's struggling just to provide for her family, we look to hope and know that God will provide a way. To the heart of that one that's been broken and crying out for help, we look to hope and know that God will provide his healing that will make your heart whole once again. To the one who may be struggling with disease, sickness, and poverty, we look to hope. And we know that God will provide restoration for the disease-stricken and provide wealth for those in poverty when his Son brings us into his eternal glory. There is hope and comfort in serving the one and true God. Be encouraged and know that this life is but a moment. A moment. The one to come is eternal. It's forever. He's prepared for us. He promised through Jesus. He said, I have prepared a home for you. It's spectacular. You just have to want it. You have to want it. You have to want me. No matter what we face, it is our hope in Christ that carries us through. No matter what Satan throws our way, guys, no matter what. Peter said this, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, will we, by the way, will we? Yes. You will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ as Lord, as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that you have, and do it with gentleness and respect. We're supposed to be prepared. For when someone comes to me and goes, Phil, something's different about you. What is it? It's the hope of the risen Lord. Let's talk. But I don't know if I believe. I don't care. I do. Let me tell you what I believe. And I want to tell you because I love you. Because I love you. We are to share the reason for the hope we have to others. Why? Because it doesn't make sense in this world. It doesn't make sense. When others despair, we have hope. When others are depressed, we have hope. When others believe that all is lost, we have hope. Do you have hope? In Hebrews, the Hebrew writer goes to Abraham again. Funny, isn't that how it works? Paul talks about the faith of Abraham, and then over here in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer talks about the hope that Abraham had. Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself. God swore by his own name. He can do that. He said this, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves. And in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that endures, for we have a priest that goes behind the curtain on our behalf.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand till he returns.
Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son and make a wretch his treasure. How great Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Where there is faith and hope, there is love. God loves us, doesn't he? There's no doubt in my mind. The struggle is helping those who do have the doubt. Is there a God and does he love me? When you feel it with all your heart, that's something that you can share with people, because you see that love with faith and hope, it is love that binds them all together. Love is the greatest of all of them. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was asked which was the greatest command, what did he say? Love. When listing out the fruit of the Spirit, what's the first one on the list? Love. When describing who God is, John said he is love. When sharing the greatest of these, Paul says faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. Because love binds them all together. The greatest of these is love. If it weren't for God's love, we would not exist. We wouldn't even be here. If it weren't for God's love, we would be lost. If it weren't for God's love, we would be with no joy. If it weren't for God's love, there would be no faith. If it weren't for God's love, there would be no hope. And if it weren't for God's love, there would be no love. It would not exist. Because of God's love, we are able to be called his children. Isn't that awesome? You get to be called a child of God. Our children for us are an expression of our love. right? An expression of our love. And so when I look at my daughters, I look at them and I think about the love I have with my wife. And the love that we share together is expressed in our children. And so then all of us in this room are expressions of love in two ways. An expression of love from God, an expression of love from our families. Even if you didn't come into this world with the greatest of love, you did. Did you hear what I just said? Even if you came into the world with a family that didn't love you as much as you wished and hoped that they would, you came into this world fully loved. No one sitting in this room is a mistake. Everyone has been created by the love of God and have been formed and fashioned in that love to be an image of Him. And it doesn't matter what you've experienced and gone through, you are still an expression of God's love because you are His children. It's just as I'm looking back behind here, we've got a special gift this morning, because as our children are our expression of our love and we are God's children, this morning we're going to demonstrate that love as some of our children come and give us something to remind us of today, to remind us of this faith, this hope, and this love. We encourage you to keep these things with you as you move through God's word and His scripture to know who He is, who you are, and what this is all about. Let's
see. O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven or earth below. O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven above. You keep your
nothing like children, is there? And there's sometimes we want to not remember them, but there's other, most of the time we want to, right? Parents are not amen in this right now. Right, parents? We love our children, right? Yes. Now, I want you to think, that is God sometimes disappointed in us? Like we parents are disappointed in our kids? Yeah. Will you ever stop loving your children? Will you ever stop loving your children? No. And there is zero chance that God will ever stop loving you. There is nothing that you can do that will take you to a point where God's grace cannot reach you. And that's the hope that we have for today. So what? What does all this have to do with my life, Phil? Great, Easter service. We get faith, hope, and love. Nice talk. Now let's go out. What does it have to do with my everyday life? Everything. It has everything to do with our lives. And if it doesn't, then it's just simply something we do on Sundays or occasionally when we have time. Because these are things we deal with every day. You got to understand this. What we put our faith in drives us. It doesn't have to be God, by the way. You can put your faith in a lot of things. And that what that faith goes into will drive you and motivate you. When you look to what drives you, who or what is it? What we place our hope in is an expression of our greatest desire. Did you hear what I just said? Ooh, that may step on some toes, huh? What we put our hope in is an expression of our greatest desire. Who or what is your greatest desire? What keeps you going? What wakes you up in the morning? Who or what we give our deepest love to is our God. I want to read that one again. Who or what we give our deepest love to is our God. When you look to where you express your greatest love, where does it go? Is it God? Is it you? Today we celebrate with Christians all around the world the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For many, this is a barrier of faith. You realize that the resurrection for some people is the reason why they don't believe. They just can't believe that Jesus rose from the grave. But it's the very thing that is the crux of what we believe. Why we exist. For many, this continues to be a barrier. They can believe in a Jesus who is a good man and taught great things, but they cannot believe that he died and rose again. Yet, it's the bedrock of our faith, the foundation. It is through Jesus' resurrection that we find hope and future. And as Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those who also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. If there is no resurrection, we have better things to do on Sunday morning, don't we? But here is a resurrection. He did rise on the third day. And that resurrection gives us hope for everlasting life with him. We believe that no matter what in life we get, whatever this life throws at us, three things remain. Faith that Jesus is the Son of God and that he came to save us from our sins, and therefore he gives us hope that this life is not all that there is, but that by what he did, we will live with him forever. And all this is made possible and complete by God's love. Love that binds all things together. Do you believe that? This is more than a day of Easter egg hunts and dressing up in fine clothes and going out to dinner. Because if that's all it is, we have mistaken what this day is about. This day is a day for us to remember what he did and what he's going to do. Because he's coming back. I remember as a boy, my dad would get up and he would pray prayers. I think I may have said this one to you guys before, but he'd get up and he'd pray prayers, and he would always pray this. And Lord, we ask that you come and take us home to be with you in heaven. And as a young boy, I would hear that prayer and go, I'm not ready yet. Anybody ever thought that? But now, I pray it with all my heart. Because this is just a taste. When we get those moments, you know, when it feels like you're in heaven, and you're with your brothers and sisters, and you feel that love that surges amongst you, and it goes in your very soul and your spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Am I the only one alive in this room?
He's off his rocker.
It's that moment that we feel that taste of heaven, and it's just a foretaste. What we will get when we get to heaven. It's not about a place, by the way. Heaven's not about a place. Because once you see Jesus coming on those clouds, you won't think about a place. All you'll want is to be next to him forever and ever. Do you have faith? Do you have hope? Do you have love? Maybe you don't. Maybe this is the first time you walked into a church building this morning, and you're thinking, who is this crazy bald man up there screaming and everything? But maybe just for a moment, you got an understanding that God is more about, he's more than rules and regulations. Amen? He's not about the do's and don'ts. He's all about the I love you, and I want you to be with me. And so maybe you've never committed to that faith and that hope and that love, and maybe this morning is your chance to do that, to make a commitment to God, to say, I believe in you, my hope is in you, and I want to express all my love in you. And you could do that this morning through baptism, through that commitment. But maybe, just maybe, you're one of the individuals that this is the one time you're here all year long. And it's not about attendance records, by the way, is it? It's about a heart. But this is the one time you come, and this is your one reminder that this is not this, outside of this, is not what it's all about. But he is. And that if you want this morning to recommit your life in faith and hope and love to the risen Lord, this is the time to do it. Don't let anything, or anyone step in the way of that. You can do that now as we stand and as we sing this song.
Loved ones of God.